Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Well, I've had this a couple of times already today, come around a corner and someone says, "Whoa, you're here?" Like, I missed one Sunday, and it's like, what are you doing back? So thank you, Steve, for preaching last weekend. We were at a volleyball tournament last weekend. I think many expected I'd be at Spring Hill this weekend, and there's a big part of me that wishes I was. It's just a really fun trip. But I wanted to be with you today. This is a great day. This is a day I want to share with you a story about a new church, a story about some faithful decisions that were made 20 years ago. It was the fall of 1997 that I went to a family camp meeting in Southwest Ohio. Actually, our campground was in Indiana, but it was for the churches that were part of the Southwestern Ohio District. And I went and I listened to the speaker and I got very little out of it. The end. No, just kidding. You're like, believe me, we've been there, right? I didn't have anything profound come to me that day. That next week, I was meeting with a group of youth pastors from that area, and one of them was a friend of yours, many of yours. His name is Daryl Harvey. And Daryl and I carpooled to this luncheon together, and he says, "What'd you think about that Sunday night service at camp meeting?" And I said, "You know, you've been to one, you've been to a few. It was all right." He goes, "Terry, I got to tell you something. I think that was life-changing for me." And I said, "Really? How's that?" He says, "God has called me to plant a church." I said, "Well, that's amazing. Where would you want to do that?" He goes, "He's told me even where." And he told me, Flushing, Michigan. And I laughed out loud. You've got the entire United States and you want to go to a town called Flushing. You know God's in it, right? Daryl was from this area originally. He had some family roots here, and he knew that there was no Nazarene church in this area, no church that was from our tribe. And so he just felt compelled by God to come. And so by spring of that next year, he relocated his family with no promises. No church had come alongside of him and said, "Hey, we'll give you some people." Our district had not even come alongside of him and said, "Hey, we'll sponsor you financially." They moved here with nothing but a call. And they got involved in this community. Many of you know them as a family. They got jobs in this community, and they kept meeting and praying. And shortly, there was about eight families that gathered together. Some of you are a part of that. I know Burbas and Salems, you were a part of these very, very early days where there was nothing but a call. I would say nothing but a dream, but it wasn't a dream because dreams are human. It was nothing but a call. And a few faithful people came alongside and prayed and met in homes and sang songs together without the production and prayed together and asked God to bless and asked God to move. And on Sunday, Palm Sunday, March 28th, 1999, this church was officially born with their first public worship service. I was at Krause. Is that where that was at? Yeah, at Krause over there on Loose Road. What a great beginning. The church continued to grow because it was focused on doing less, but doing that exceptionally well. I remember when Daryl first told me about some of the vision and idea he had about the church. He said, "I want to do Sunday morning only, and that's it." And I said, "They're going to let you do that? They'll pay you for that?" Because back in that day, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and every other night of the week. He's like, "I want to focus on doing less, but I want to do it better. I want to do everything exceptionally well." And the church was built on the principle of evangelism and reaching out into our community through being involved in the community. I remember the stories. I've heard the stories of just the growth that took place, especially when the church, as it continued to migrate, it would outgrow a space and migrate, and went to the middle school, which is now the Early Childhood Center. Any of you joined the church or come to the church in those days? I remember Bob especially telling me that he could feel the presence of God in the parking lot as people were out there greeting people and welcoming people. It was palpable to know that something was powerful was going to happen when you got inside this 100-year-old school. that was being transformed into God's house every Sunday morning. And so God began to grow and grow this place. We had the completion of this gymnasium facility in the fall of 2003. We were only 4 years old and growing and already running about 350 people or so. The story is really fun to that point. It gets a little bit choppy waters at this point. There was a season of difficulty and personal struggles, professional struggles began to happen. And in April of 2008, we lost our founding pastor. Not our friend, but our founding pastor. And so we had to go through a season of transition. And I started here in January of 2009. It's been 8 years. By the time I arrived, we had about 200 people or so had migrated away from us. Many of you have felt that sting. You were here during that season of great excitement and went through those challenging moments together, and then we had to hold together, didn't we? And it wasn't a quick transition. I looked back on, I keep every board report. I'm kind of weird this way. I got like this shelf of board reports, and I was looking back on finance reports from the days that I got here. And there were days that we were on thin ice, really. What we would need for having financial support in the bank and ready for emergencies, I look in those numbers and go, how did we not absolutely freak out? Because it was scary. And God's protected me from it because I don't remember many of those reports. I was like, really? How I don't know how we functioned like that. And how didn't Rich just like fire everybody and say, we can't do this anymore? I mean, it was kind of like there were some really scary days. And then we look back at some faithful moments. There was a moment when one family asked me to come over to their home and meet with them, and they had just sold something of great value, and they handed me a check of $60,000. And they said, we know that we need a youth pastor. We know that our future is in children and youth ministry, and we want you to use this, but we want you to do something with it that's a little bit unusual. We want you also to challenge the entire church to match it. And so if you were with us in those days, we called this the All-In Fund. And we challenged the church to raise an additional $60,000. We had $120,000 to invest in our first youth pastor hire in my time. We did some renovations around here. We put the carpet, new projectors, some new speakers, some stuff we needed to do here. We renovated the Oak Street building. And for the first time in my time here, we actually were able to put some money in ministry funding, which was great. And so we had funding for youth and children and worship. And God began to use that gift in a powerful way. There was another family that approached me and said, we just sold some land and we want to tithe on this land, and we have a $50,000 gift. We were not ready to talk about expansion, but they knew that they wanted this $50,000 to be utilized for building expansion. And so we've held on to that. That was the seed money for where we are today, was given long before the conversations ever happened. As we started to grow again and momentum started to fill in this room, we started talking about what would it be like if we could fill, if you could have like Superman x-ray vision and look beyond that drywall right there, you would see 3,000 square feet of empty airspace above this section of our building over here. And we began to dream about what could it look like if we were to finish that up there and create some additional classrooms, because our children's space was just maxed out. And so we looked at that and considered it. We had architects here. We had engineers looking into the footings of the building. Could it support it? And the bottom line was nobody was confident that we could put that kind of weight on the footings that we had on that side of the building. And so those conversations stalled. We started looking at modular units out here in the backyard here and said, could we put modular units in? And we just didn't ever feel comfortable with that. And so when those conversations stalled, we took that leap of faith and said, what would it look like to develop an overall site plan and a ministry vision for this facility that would cause expansion and take us way out of our comfort zone? And so we started the conversation. And the result of this journey, the result of all of these things that took place, was a desire not to create a church for the next decade. The desire deep within our hearts in these early conversations was to create a church for our children and their children's children. We wanted to create a site plan that wouldn't be sustainable just for a little while, but a site plan overall that would be sustainable for the rest of this church's history right here in Flushing. And so we've worked really hard to consider not only just a site plan, but a ministry plan that we believe is foundational to keep us moving forward. And that's when Building a Legacy was born. This is this is much more than a capital campaign. This is much more than just trying to raise money. It was never built around that premise alone. This is a missional campaign, and we believe that the mission behind our conversation of building a legacy is the most important element. It's 1 year ago this morning that we sat in tables all around this place, and we called it Miracle Sunday, and we cast our pledges for this campaign, our financial support of what we believe this mission to be about. Can I just highlight just a little bit? This has been an incredible year for us. But I want to remind you of what this ministry, what this campaign has really all been about. There's three critical components to this campaign, three critical components. First of all, we want to develop ministry that is for all levels of family. So children, you're here today, and I'm glad you're getting to hear this, because when I was your age in my home church in Bluffton, Indiana, as long as I can remember, we had this thermostat-looking thing in the back, and it would talk about land, but I couldn't understand what we were talking about. And we were in a capital campaign in my childhood too, and I want you to know this. We want to develop ministry, continue to develop ministry that is for you, where you love coming to church, where you love being here. And I know that we have that now. We've been blessed by faithful children's pastors. We've been given another one, and I'm excited about that. We want a dynamic youth ministry as well. We believe, and maybe we're a little selfish in this, maybe a little pride, but I believe we are poised to have one of the best, if not the best, youth ministries in this community. I think we have one of the greatest opportunities in that. This community really needs strong youth ministry in all of our churches, and I believe we need to set the pace in that. I want to see ministry in an area that is really difficult to grab a hold of, and that's young adults. We have several here today that I believe are key in helping us get that thing started, where we're helping young adults build godly relationships, where they're making life-altering decisions. The church has left them, and they've left the church, and we can't let that happen. So we need to develop ministry for young adults. We need to develop ministry for men and women, where we're communicating about our roles within the community and letting men lead their homes and be strong in their faith and outspoken, and women as well, and connecting with each other. And so we want ministry for the entire family. I listened to a podcast this week on blended families. Really helped me understand that there's a lot of us in this church that have children and stepchildren and every other weekend scenarios. And what does the church do to help blended families? And so I really want to look at that too. The second main component of this thing is established on the Word of God. And I say that every time I go, you know, we are established on the Word of God. But right now with how we do things, largely you get the Word through preaching. And we really want to increase our ability to teach. Eric Smith's been teaching the last several weeks in a room. And quite frankly, there's been a smaller crowd than I really believe that needs to be there. And I hope that you will grab this book, or join the conversation that will start next Sunday morning at 9:30 as Eric continues to teach through this book, I Am, because we need to sit under other people and listen and have conversation with other people about God's Word. Our children need to see us do this, moms and dads. Our grandchildren need to see us do this. And so we want to increase our ability to stand not only on the preaching of God's Word, but on the teaching of God's Word. And third, we want a ministry that is motivated by the burden for others in local outreach and how we reach our friends and neighbors and family, in our ability to care through mercy and through caring on each other when we go through difficult times, and even stretching around the world through global missions as well. So those are that's the whole thing of building a legacy has been built around these three things: ministry for the entire family, ministry that is built on the Word of God, and ministry that is built around a burden for others. Now, there's three critical resources we identified early on that we said we needed. Number one was leadership development. Our staff needs to be developed and led and trained. We as staff need to lead and develop our church family as well. What does that look like? How are we developing within us a leadership culture? We also identified that systematic giving needed to go up. We can't do much around here without your faithfulness, without your faithful contributions. And I'll tell you, this is not a business plan. God has called us from the very beginning of time to be faithful with the resources He has given us. And so I just want to be clear about this. We just knew we needed to see some of this. And I remember one card that came in through this campaign that says, I can give nothing to building a legacy because I'm not tithing. And until my family understands how to give sacrificially on a regular basis, I don't want to contribute toward this until I get that right. And I thought, that is a home run. That's exactly what we're talking about. We can't sustain unless we have systematic, faithful giving. And so that has been an incredible part of our goals as well. And then the final part was this building expansion, because we recognize that all of these things can happen without expanding our building, but they will happen slower. They will be more difficult. We needed a resource, a building that would help us in a big way. Now, if we're not careful, our focus on this campaign will be the last part of our vital resources, this building, and the money that we've raised. And I'm telling you right now, that'd be a huge mistake if that's our focus. And a matter of fact, I'll say this. If we build this building and don't change the culture of our ministry structure, we will have wasted your sacrificial resources. And I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not interested in being a part of that either. Where I'm giving, and I don't want to waste my sacrificial resources just to get a building put up here, but we don't change the culture of our ministry as a whole. And so I recognize, when I stopped back and looked over this last year, this is kind of this year report of this whole campaign, I've spent more time thinking about and considering changes to the building, design of the building, and bricks and mortar than I have the mission of this campaign. And I do not want that to be the story for year two. I had to do an evaluation of myself, and I want to tell you as a congregation, I'm sorry. I spent a little bit too much time thinking about a building and not enough time thinking about the mission and the ministry of where we are at, and I don't want to repeat that. So you got to hold me accountable to that. I've got a great building team, and you're going to meet some of them in just a few seconds here. But I do want to highlight two areas of missional progress this year. It wasn't a complete waste of missional effort. This year, we spent a lot of time searching for staff members to come alongside of us, and God has blessed us with two wonderful people, two wonderful families. And so we hired full-time Pastor Troy Supple and his wife Nicole, along with Madison and Braylon. They're beautiful children, and they have been an incredible blessing to our church. And then most recently, Pastor Kelly Folks and her husband Dennis, Bria, and Conley, their two precious children as well. They've come here on faith. They've come here because when they visited us, they felt compelled to want to be with you. They saw something in you, something in this church. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about this building. It wasn't about this community. It was about when they wrestled with and they got to know and they had dinner with you, they said they feel God doing something here that they want to be a part of. And so God has blessed us with two additional full-time staff members that I believe God is going to do incredible things through them. They work hard. They long to improve and get better at what they do. And most importantly, they love Jesus. They absolutely love Jesus, and they want everyone around them to love Him too. And I love being around them. The second thing that I thought was really critical in our missional development this year over the last 52 weeks has been the establishment of our global missions team. And Mike Romanek is here somewhere. Mike's right here. Mike has been working so hard. We've got two kids. We've got a bulletin board out here. Two kids that we sponsor as a church. And we're hoping to not only just put money into those kids, but we're hoping to meet those kids. He's working really hard to schedule a trip to the Dominican Republic this year, hopefully in 2017. We've had to really kind of try to figure out how the Nazarene church functions in this way, because this is new territory for us. And so we're really hoping to sponsor a trip where we're going and meeting and building and blessing other people, because we know God has blessed us. We need to continue to bless others. And so that's been really cool as well. Now, if you look in your bulletin this morning, everyone that got a bulletin, pull that out, because there's a really important insert in here, and it's green. It is a survey, a Building a Legacy involvement survey. I would love for every one of you to fill this out and to find a way to get plugged in. This is kind of... We're going to talk about the building here in just a minute, but the mission of our church is about the ministries we're trying to create, and we need you to be involved. We need every one of you. I've talked to some of you, and I'll say a name. You're like, yeah, I'm not really sure. I know that person. I describe them by face. Oh, yeah, I sit next to them every Sunday. Didn't know their name, right? We need to get involved. We need to be with each other, and here are some ways that you might want to just step out on faith and get a little bit involved. I put the department, I'll use the children's area here, children, maybe the nursery, toddler, or preschool area. And if someone uses words to describe you like this, like you like to pretend, you like to play pretend, or you are a flexible person that can handle things getting thrown at you or spit at you, then, you know, maybe the nursery or toddler room is a really great place to be. I was in there once last summer and literally got a face full. And I was like, whoa. Did not see that coming. I had Animal Cracker like everywhere. It's like, that's cool. That's cool. I love it. I love our kids. And so maybe that's an area for you. Maybe you want to work with teens. And again, so there's these identifying characteristics on the right side and areas that you can be involved. Maybe there's some ministry area of being involved with the Word of God, a boost or small group, or getting involved in our worship teams you want to be involved with. Maybe there's a ministry motivated by the burden for others that you want to be involved with, mercy, care, local or global missions. Fill this out. Fill the bottom out, and then we're going to have you take it right back to the Welcome Center back there on your way out the door. I'm sure Marianne will create a space for us to do that where you can turn these in today, and we will be in touch. Someone will be in touch. We cannot sacrificially give and put a building up over here and stay the same. We have to be different. We have to get involved, and that's what we're hopeful for. So I want to invite our building team to come up. I know John Sayers is here, Mark Taylor is here, and Bob Coe has been our building team leader. Come on up, guys. We're going to kind of just give everybody a little bit of an update on what's going on. Yeah, you should let these guys know. Now, yay. I wanted Mark behind you just in case that didn't go so well. So this group along, Eric Smith this year has done a lot of work on this. Colleen is at Spring Hill, and we've had others involved in various parts of this conversation, but this has kind of been the core of our building team. So we want to ask you just a couple of questions about what's going on with the structure, okay, and what's been happening. But I understand we've made some changes to the overall design, and some decisions had to be made. Do you want to talk about some of those changes, Bob?
Sure. The some of the overall design, like in the classrooms, we're changing some of the configuration to make sure that there's what the teachers need in those classrooms, like cupboards and closets and sinks and that sort of thing. We've talked to the pastors in each of those areas and gotten all of their input. And also, the second floor, or what we're going to call the youth area upstairs, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. About 2,200 square feet. We're making some changes up there where they've got a sink area and mm-hmm. that sort of thing that they can service the kids up there better with, so they can run up and down the stairs. Is there anything else you guys can think of?
One big thing that when we have these artist rendition, we have this nice big carport out front, and you see part of step two off to the right. We also made a decision that carport isn't going to be right away, because that's a pretty expensive deal. That's like $70,000 or $80,000.
Yeah, between $50,000 and $75,000, and we felt it would be okay for you to walk in the rain for a little while.
So
we've been doing it for 12 years. So.
Right. So that's kind of a aesthetic change on the outside. So we have an updated price from our builders, correct? Mark going to share that?
Yeah, we met with our builders a week or two ago and got a final price, and the price comes in at about $1.17 million. Our pledged giving was at, I think, $35,000 less than that.
Yep. Yeah, $1,142,000.
That sounds right. As of today, you can see over there on the wall, we've got a new board up. And we've received close to $700,000 so far.
Yeah.
Of our pledges, with another little over $400,000 to be pledged over the next 2 years. As Terry mentioned, it was a year ago today
mm-hmm.
That we started our pledging, and we decided for a 3-year plan.
Yep.
So we have 2 years left for our pledging. So I think everybody that has pledged, you'll probably be receiving an update probably when Rich gets back from
mm-hmm.
out west
mm-hmm.
about where you stand, is what your pledge was and how much you've given so far and what you need to give over the next 2 years to fulfill your pledge. So basically that's where we stand right now.
Yeah. About out of that 691,000, I think around 500,000 of that was through single, like one-time big gifts from several.
I think it was more around 400,000.
Yeah, so big, but
one-time gifts.
But a very healthy amount coming from people that are systematically giving and putting away, and we really feel confident. That's about 60% of our pledged amount is in year one. So that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, we had a financial goal as a board, didn't we, about when to build and when to do all that kind of stuff and how we wanted to handle debt. We do have some additional things that we're looking at, some technology issues that are not a part of the 1.17. Parking lot expansion is not a part of that. We're kind of using like 1.3 is now our new targeted idea of what it's going to cost to complete the project, right?
Right.
And that's a healthy number. Like, it'll probably be less than that, but we're wanting to project
That's correct. We've also talked about, and this is up to your church board, about selling the oak.
Mm-hmm.
Once we start this building, put the oak up for sale. I know we've had a few, I think we've had an appraisal or two come in on the oak. So that's a possibility that help us especially fund the second story, which is going to be dedicated to our teams anyway. So
right.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I think if you talk about the technology aspect of the building isn't included in the price. John, you want to talk a little bit about this?
Okay. My lovely and talented wife is the expert on the technology.
That's
so. Well, the goal is, even if we don't quite need it yet, is we want to have the building technology ready, Wi-Fi, if we want to have any closed circuit type of TV to broadcast the sermons or anything that's going on the Sunday service for people that aren't in the sanctuary that are able to share with it, or for any type of purpose that we want, setting up maybe for any type of phones or security, mm-hmm. anything like that. So the goal is to get all that stuff done while the building is being built, as opposed to going back and doing it later when it would be a lot more money. So that's a goal. We're trying to be thinking future forward with the technology, because you know it changes at such a quick pace. You can't stay ahead of it, but you try to anticipate what you're going to need that way.
Right.
So
right.
We've worked that into the whole cake and baked it in there. So we're hoping that we're able to do all that.
You just said cake.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hungry.
Right. Yeah. So that's really good, and I love how they're thinking ahead. I like how they're trying to think about what our kids are going to need. They're thinking about what you know this building could be used for in the future. That's great. We're willing to put money into the things that keep us safe. Our architect actually said we didn't need fire suppression in this building, and our board and our building team said that would be foolish. We want to protect everybody and keep everyone. So we're willing to put money where it's needed to be. And I'll tell you, anybody I talk to about this campaign, they ask, how did you convince people to give over a 3-year period of time over $1 million? It's kind of startling, and God has been faithful, and I believe He's been faithful to you. In November, when we were doing our very thankful wall, someone wrote on their card, have received financial blessing, and I believe it's connected to my desire to be a part of the Building a Legacy campaign. I just know there are going to be stories come out of this in your own life of God's faithfulness to you as you continue to give and be faithful to Him. So out of this, a lot more details we're going to talk about this, but one thing I want you guys to share is we have a break ground date. Because we have reached our 50% threshold, and so we're looking to actually move some dirt. So, you guys want to share that?
Well, we're looking at the first weekend in May to start moving dirt. And we'd like to have a celebration on that day. Hopefully have our district superintendent here to be part of it, and a lot of prayers, and get the congregation out. Of course, there's got to be food involved.
Got to be food. Cake.
It'll be a day of celebration to kick this project off. So that's our intention, to start to move dirt that day.
Very good. Would you guys give these guys a big hand? Appreciate that. You guys are working so hard. Permits are being pulled, and the state, the city, the township are being made aware of our intentions. And I'm excited. But again, I don't want our attention to be on a beautiful building. I want our attention to be on how we're going to utilize that resource. The ministries we need to create and the things we need to do to allow God's kingdom to expand. Now, if you want to learn more, this is just the icing of John's cake, okay? This is just the surface of a much deeper thing. Today at 4:30 at the Oak, which is right over here off of Oak Street, and right behind Choo Choo's kind of, it's our secondary building. We're going to have a town hall meeting at 4:30 today where I go into much greater detail about the building, show you the design, talk about the changes we've made over this year, and get into much greater detail. It takes about 45 to 60 minutes to go through it, but we do it in that kind of a setting. So if you have started to attend our church over the last year and you did not get a part of these town hall meetings, or maybe you didn't get in on them the first time around and you want to learn more, we invite you to come out today at 4:30. If you can't make it at 4:30 today, we have another sign-up opportunity, and that's 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So 4:30 today or 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we'd invite you to come and just to hear more about it. Again, 45 minutes to an hour, top. So we did it that way because last time we did them, we had them scheduled right after another. We had to keep them short. So anytime you want to keep me brief, just schedule something right after, and I'll keep brief. So there's nothing scheduled after our 4:30 meeting today, but I'll keep it brief. This presentation's been done many times. So we want you to come. Sign up at the Welcome Center. We need you to sign up because otherwise, if there's no one signed up, I don't want to go if there's no one going to be there. That would be heartbreaking. But I'd love to have you come. And again, we won't put a big push on the financial side of it. We just want to teach and share more about this vision. Now, time is getting away from us, but I really want to share something really powerful with us. I'm going to skip a slide here, Floyd, just to let you know that you guys know how to sign in on Facebook, and you can look for our YouVersion event. Okay, that's the next slide, but I'm going to skip through that time. I want to share some scripture about really what compels this. This first part of my time with you is really just to kind of give you an idea of what we've been talking about inside of our office and leadership over the last year and the changes that have been going on. But I look around me everywhere, and I serve on several boards, even in our denomination, and see churches closing everywhere. I see churches dying of old age on every corner in every community. Most churches just feel like they're on life support. And I don't try to measure or try to compare, but by any measure, you look at many churches in our culture today, and they're struggling. We see other churches that are just exploding and growing so fast, and they're just filled with many, many people. But if you investigate it just a little bit further, you might notice that some of those churches aren't doing a fantastic job at creating an atmosphere of life change and life transformation and true discipleship. And I'm just praying that God would help us not fall into either one of those traps where we struggle and die a slow and painful death, or that we grow and expand so fast that we're not growing our hearts and souls stronger. So as a community of seekers and believers here at Flushing Community Church, we believe a godly legacy looks like our mission statement. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others at any age, at any time. I had a preschooler today that shared with me that they've been meeting some friends at preschool, and one of their friends came last Sunday along with their dad. I'm like, you're never too young to share God's love. Now, I have one career goal in my life, and that's to lead a church that gets this and pushes all of us toward it. I mean, pushes all of us toward it, because legacy is not about a building. Our personal legacy is about building a life in such a way that others desire to want to emulate that life because they see God clearly through it. That's why we do what we do. And I'm seeing bursts of little glimpses of God shaping and forming us. And every month in my board report, I try to write a story of transformation. How am I seeing God transform us? What kind of life change am I seeing? Some months it's challenging, but that's my goal, is to see it in me and to see it in all of us, God transforming us. When we talked a year ago about legacy, we mentioned that building a godly legacy is a choice that we make. It's a choice we make. A godly legacy will always trust in the power of God over the lure of this world, and the world has a lot to lure us toward. A godly legacy will trust in the provision of God over the glam of this world. A godly legacy places its will and its desires under the authority of God rather than the expectations of others within this world. A godly legacy is obedient to the Word of God over the logic of this world. A godly legacy longs for the blessings of God over the cheers of this world. A godly legacy is transformed into the image of God and will not conform to the patterns of this world. We stand on the opposite edge of what the world loves to offer us. And we're called to go to this world and to bring them back into the fold of God's faith. So in reflecting on this week, the desire of wanting to create a godly legacy in my life, I was drawn to the book of Galatians, especially the 5th chapter, where Paul describes a life according to the Spirit of God. Paul's writing this warning to this church. In this chapter, he even says, there was a time where you got this. There was a time that you were thriving. There was a time that you really embraced this. But something's gotten in your way. Something has distracted you. And so I look in this chapter and I can see that there had been complacency in this church. There had been deception in the church there in Galatia. And Paul is warning them. You know, their old connection to God was all based on religious behavior. But Paul expresses the difference between trusting in church membership or what church you attend versus learning to live with freedom that's offered through God's grace that ultimately leads to His righteousness. And so I want to read this. Chapter 5, beginning just in verse 1. We'll spend some time in various places here. So Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law being the Jewish way of doing things. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Again, I say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Paul's saying here with the words he's using that you're trying to use, I'm a member of the family of Israel card to say you're good enough. That you've got this identity within the Jewish community that you're in God's people, therefore that's all you really need. And he's saying there is so much more, because if you're going to use the card that says I'm a member, then you better follow every one of our 560 laws and not break a one of them, if that's where you want to put your hope and faith. And he says it's impossible to do. What we need is God's grace. Verse 5, but we who live by the Spirit, key words, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us. For when we placed our faith in Christ Jesus, there was no benefit in being a member or not a member, circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. If in your Bible you don't have that underlined, you need to underline it. In your YouVersion app, you need to highlight it. You need to share it on Facebook. It is important. What is most important is faith expressing itself in love. Righteousness, Paul says here, is something that is not achievable on your own ability. It's a gift from God. It's not a gift that you just trip into or because you're a member of the right family. It's found when you are living by the Spirit, which means you put yourself in the Word of God so that you can understand the Spirit of God speaking to you. Living by the Spirit means you long to obey the leading of God in your life. Go down to verse 13 for me. If you will, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom, critical words, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, because in verse 22, the Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. What is Paul telling us? What is Paul articulating here? This is what I believe it is, and you can fill in the blanks on your insert. A godly legacy is a life flourishing in freedom through Christ. A godly legacy is a life flourishing in the freedoms that come when we live by the Spirit, when we live through Christ. Our mission as a church is to be a people of and to proclaim a message of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because there is nothing that this world has that's better than any of those things. There is nothing the world could give you that tops the fruit of the Spirit of God. Everyone desires to have a life that flows with those attributes. Believers, non-believers, even people from other religions, they desire to live lives of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And the people of God, this is our litmus test. This is how we determine if we are living by the Spirit or not. Look at how your life is flowing. Is it flourishing with these things or is it not? For too long, the church has said, I'm good with Jesus. I've got faith in Jesus. But that person's an idiot. And I'm going to remind them that they're an idiot. Right? We treat each other the same way that the entire rest of the world treats people. And that is not the way of God. And that is not building a godly legacy. For too long, the church has said, listen, I'm a member. I've been raised in this church. I can't remember when I got saved, but I'm good. And we go and we party like the rest of the world on the weekends. Or we use the same language that the rest of the world uses. There's a big debate about what language Christians can use. I get that. The reality is, I want to stand apart. I want to stand above it. So anytime we have an opportunity, we use our freedom not to indulge our sinful nature, but we use our freedom to serve others in love. That's building a godly legacy, and that's not putting one brick additional onto this building. We can do this without a building, but we can explode this into our community when God uses your faithful gifts to help us. A godly legacy. A godly legacy is one that will flow with many blessings. It will flow with many things that will come out of it. This is what I envision, a godly legacy. If all of us are living with a godly legacy, the kingdom will expand as children learn about God's love and grace and grow up with the Lord leading their lives. Don't look at your children and grandchildren and say, I don't want that for them. All of us want that for them, right? That's a godly legacy. A godly legacy can be seen in the outcomes and the blessings when teens are delivered from substance abuse, depression, and cutting themselves, when God is introduced into their lives and they feel a God that loves them more than they could ever imagine. And that's why I've been praying for our teens this weekend that are at Spring Hill and those of you who are not and who are here today. I want to see God do something in you that only God can do. A godly legacy will produce the blessings of young adults forming godly relationships that will help them guide their decisions on marriage and occupation and their ability to respond to the call of justice in this world. We have a young adult population that is passionate about wanting to see justice in this world. Justice that the church for too long has turned its back on. There's a generation that God is rising up among us to want to do something about it. And we had better be a part of that conversation. Because if we're not, they'll do it. But they'll do it in their own power and their own strength. And God wants to do that. God wants to break the racial tension in this community, and He wants to do it through the people who are most passionate about it. And I see that in our young people. I do. When we see godly legacy forming, we will see men lead their homes with God's authority and place Christ before their pride. We will see women become whole as they bond with other godly women. And they will see amazing things happen when the Word of God becomes as important as the air we breathe. And the time that we spend reading it and studying it with others becomes our lifeline of hope. A godly legacy is seen when our desire to meet the needs of others instead of ourselves becomes the crying heart, becomes our heart's cry deep within us. This cannot be accomplished with the authority of a pastor. This cannot happen with the best intentions that you may have sitting here today. This can only happen when we make a decision to live through the Spirit of God and through His mercy to forgive us and His grace to sustain us. Friends, God has to give this to us. It's a gift that He desires to give to every one of you. And He wants to use every one of you. From the youngest of you here today that can comprehend what I'm saying to the oldest who are here, who have lived many more years than me, that has seen it happen. I want to see in our lifetime, not a new building, I want to see a renewal of our hearts toward the freedom of Christ, serving one another in love. Because I believe that the church has given up. I believe that the church as a whole looks at our world and says, what is going to happen? It's going to crumble and fall, and I just hope that I'm here when Jesus comes back. But I believe there's work to be done. I believe God still wants to do work among us. That's why we're here. That's why you're still living. That's why you're taking another breath. Because God wants to form in you with your authority and the influence that you have as a high school student, as a middle school student, as a grandma, as a parent, as a businessman, whatever you are, you have influence, and God wants to use your influence to continue to do something powerful in our community right where we are. See, I think the church has given up, but I believe God wants to renew our homes. And I believe He wants to spread that into our community. And I believe He wants to do something incredible in our schools. And I even think He can do it in our nation. And it's hard to be on Facebook. And it's hard to watch the news and think that He can. But I believe my God can. But it won't happen because someone else figures it out. It can only happen when you figure it out. And you take care of your business and your sphere of influence. So I want to ask you, teenager, I want to ask you, child, I want to ask you, young adult, I want to ask you, young and old man and young and old women, do you desire to have freedom in your life? Or do you want to be stuck in bondage of slavery, feeling like you'll never measure up? See, I want the freedom of God, and that comes when you decide to live a life in the Spirit and by the Spirit, and you will form a legacy in your life that everybody else will desire to be a part of, because they will see in you the face of God. And you will draw people to you like you never imagined. May our legacy be formed in Him and in the freedom and the fruit that can be seen in us. Would you stand with me as I pray? God, today, we're not, though I appreciate it, we're not here for applause. We're here today because we want to be people on the foundation of Your Spirit guiding us and leading us. And God, may every one of us take a little bit of an opportunity to consider our own lives. And is the fruit of the Spirit flowing from us? Do people look around us and do they see the Spirit of God in us? Is a legacy being formed within us that You can use and You can utilize? God, help us. Help our focus not to be on a building, though I am so excited about May 7th, I can hardly contain myself, because I know that, God, You want to do this. You want to do something powerful. You want to make a powerful statement in Flushing that this church is alive and this church has strong desire to meet the needs of our community. But God, help us to be ready to meet those needs. Help us to be ready to meet the students that have learning disabilities. Help us, God, to be ready to meet the broken moms and the broken fathers. Help us to look at families through a different lens so that we can understand, God, how to meet the needs of those who are hurting in our world. And God, may Your Word permeate our lives so that we can understand Your Spirit when it speaks to us. Oh, Father, give us a deep burden for one another. May we share God's love with them. May we understand what it means to call someone, to send a text, and to show care and concern, not because my pastor said so, but because there's this burden within me to want to meet the needs of other people. God, do this work within us. Help us to respond in obedience. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.